Hello, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing okay.
Thanks so much for agreeing to be part of Radio Regent News and Views this evening.
Okay.
I was connected to you by Justice for Migrant Workers, and I would love to hear your story if you're interested in telling us about what you've been through.
Yeah, no problem.
Do you want to start from the beginning when you first started as a migrant worker in Canada, where you went?
My first time up here is in BC, where I do 3 months. Then I go back home, then I come back again. And my first boss was white. And when I go back home and come back up, a very bad experience, and that's for me. And lots more, because it was a big thing between Jamaican government with the boss up here, because they were having guys sitting for months not working.
Just sitting around, not actually being used.
Sitting around, not working at all. Even me, myself, I was sitting around for a couple of days. Sometimes I get 2 days. Sometimes I get 3 days because they say farm don't bear properly. And I'm saying to myself, you know the farm don't bear properly. Why did you take up 600 persons and then have them sitting around not doing nothing? You're sitting around and you're not getting paid for it.
And what were the conditions of the places you were living?
Oh, the condition of the place, it was, first thing, the sewage was smelling.
Mm.
And you have 15 persons in one room. And in a bunkhouse, you have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, around 10 stoves for 100 person. So you got to cook and wait. If some person don't cook, you can go cook. So it was bad.
Were you given food? I mean, I can't imagine you had money to buy food if you weren't working.
That's the thing. They don't give us food. You got to work and buy food for yourself. Everything you want, you got to buy it. You got to buy your working gears. You got to do everything for yourself. When we just come up, they loan us $200.
Oh, but you got
to buy food.
You have to pay it back.
Yeah, it's a loan. They loan you it. You got to pay it back. To buy food, to buy your working gears. They don't provide those things for you. So, my idea is the government needs to send someone from the government department to go do checkup on these farms.
So there were no inspections, is what you were saying.
I don't see any Canadian government. The only person I see is the Jamaican department, which they don't really like. They don't business. They only want to know they're making money. That's their thing. You call them and complain, they can't do nothing about it. So I think the Canadian government needs to step in and see what is going on these farms.
Can I ask you how long ago this was that you were in British Columbia in these terrible conditions?
I was in, it was 2019.
Oh, so very recently, yeah, very recently.
Yeah.
And this was.
And they do one next thing. They tell you that if you don't work hard enough, they're not coming back, and they put us under pressure. Because everybody wants to come back because it's a breadwinner. Because in Jamaica, it's very rough. Because I work in Jamaica, I work for 2 weeks, I get $18,000. Up here, that is $180 up here for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And that's the reason why people come to Canada to work, to earn and spread. But the treatment, that's the thing.
So you're saying you were... So how long were you sitting on that second farm doing nothing?
All right. They have a thing called paper. And they have a thing called a supervisor. So I was a friend with the supervisor. So sometimes I get to work like 2 times out of the week, 3 times, because I know the supervisor. So I'll go to him and say, oh, I'm sitting for long, I need some work.
So when you say, when you say you work twice in a week, does that mean 2 8-hour shifts?
Yeah, because you can't do more than 8 hours.
Hmm.
And then, if you want to make some extra hours, you got to go to the factory.
And what happens at the factory?
Oh, in the factory, they do packaging. Where they package the cherry, they washed it, and lots of stuff, but a sleep thing, you don't, all right. If you need to make money, you got to bear it, because we have to get up 4 o'clock in the morning to prepare ourselves to catch the bus 5 o'clock to go on the farm. And we start work from 7 to 2. Then we got to come back. We got to do what we do, cook. Then we got to go to factory. Like 6 o'clock until 12. And we got to get up about 4 o'clock in the morning again. I see people sleeping on their ladder, picking fruit.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're saying through all of this, you never saw Canadian inspectors coming to see what the conditions were like?
I don't see that. I've been there, I never see that.
So how long were you there on this second farm under these terrible conditions? How long before you left?
I was there for 4 months.
Yeah.
So sometimes you see, like, workers take certain steps in life is because of your treatment. I'm not going to say, but certain steps in life is because of their treatment or they've been treated on this farm. That's why they take certain steps.
You mean illegal?
Yeah.
Illegal steps, yeah.
Yeah, they got to do what they got to do to survive.
So how did you, so you got out and you left, you went somewhere else. How did you manage that?
I got to leave. I was in BC and now I'm in Toronto.
Right.
Yeah. The reason why I didn't go back home is because I didn't have no money. I come up here to work and I did not make as much money as I did, so I didn't make any sense going back home. So I stay and trying to make life, but even staying up here is hard because when you're here, illegal, and you're trying, and people know you're illegal, they use you.
They take advantage.
Yeah, they take advantage, because I'm going through that right now, so I have to leave out. And well, there's nothing you can do. Because first thing, you're being controlled because of your situation. And nobody wants to get deported. So they say, all right, if you're not doing that, oh, they're going to call the cops on you.
Are you talking about your situation right now?
Yeah.
Right. But do you think, but even in these conditions of being illegal, it's better than what you had in BC?
Of course it's better.
Wow.
Because I'm working underneath the table and I'm making money. I'm making money.
And you're not living in a place that smells like sewage.
No, I'm living in a house. I can't pay my rent.
Oh, good.
I can't find food every day. Can't support my kid back home. I can't save a little money.
So you're sending money back home to help your family?
Yes, I'm sending back money. And I get a kid up here now.
Oh, yeah.
And getting a kid up here? I don't know. Okay, for the mom, I do so much. And it's still not enough. Because they want to control you whenever they know you don't have certain things. Because I'm telling you, I've been used. Because I'm dating a girl, a Canadian citizen. And she's trying to block me out of my baby mom's life back home. I can't talk to my baby mom with my 4 years old son.
Who's trying to block you out? Sorry? Who?
My baby mom up here.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. She's trying to block me out. She's trying to block me out of my son's life. And I said, no, I can't deal with that. So I got to do what I got to do. I got to left.
So you're catching it from all sides because of your status.
Yeah.
What do you see as the way forward, Mark?
I'm trying everything I can. Because I'm with this girl and I never put papers to her. Never. Never. She said, let's get married. And I'm like, no. Wait, I'm not going to marry someone I don't really love. So let's see how this thing works out first before we do anything else.
Right, right. It would be, from a legal point of view, it would help you out, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm not that type of person to date someone for just papers. I see my mom and my dad married for 30 years. I want to be in that shoes. I want to marry somebody I love, not just for papers.
So can we talk a little bit more about the migrant worker situation in general? If you were, if you were able to sit in front of a panel at the government of Canada, what would you suggest?
Yeah.
What recommendations would you make on behalf of migrant workers in this country?
Migrant workers, because let me tell you, through this pandemic season, I work right too. And my job is, I work with a warehouse that deal with garbage bin for the city of Toronto. So every day, we load trucks of bins, send out, receive back old bins, crop them, send them out to recycling. So I'm saying to the government, if you can do something to help us, like people who are working, like try find something you can do just to help us, because we're here for a reason. We're not doing any crime, we're not doing nothing wrong. It's just for a better life. Because in Jamaica, it is rough.
And it sounds like you're doing a job that's very, very necessary.
Yeah, because from your here, illegal, and someone say they're going to call the cops on you, you get quiet. You can't do nothing. You got to just do what they say, because you're in your sight.
But it also sounds like a similar thing was happening when you were a migrant worker working legally, because if you didn't do exactly what was said in these impossible conditions, you would be sent back. You wouldn't get hired again. So it's a similar situation, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because I see a person come up. Because of the way they work, they can't work to them, and they're like, you're not coming back.
Yeah.
And they don't come back.
So would you say that there needs to be better protection across the board for workers coming to the country, doing necessary doing work that maybe other people don't want to do necessarily, like working in the field and then the factories for hours on end, or doing the garbage.
Yes.
So there needs to be protection for these people.
Yeah, because look, I'm working on the farm, and I don't see no white people. All right, can I say that?
Sure, go ahead.
I don't see no. It's only I don't see no white people. It's only black people.
So does that mean you don't see anyone with power?
No, because no one is going to do that job.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see. White people don't want to do that work. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
No.
Yeah.
Because you have to, sometimes in BC it's very hot. Very, very hot.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 47 degrees and you have to in the sun picking cherries and apples, anything, any farm you're on. Because I used to do cherries and apples. So till I even, because the field is very dusty. And I came here and I get sick. I develop asthma here because of the dust.
So you're doing necessary work that most people don't want to do. And so there needs to be proper protection because it's food work.
Yes.
And food work is necessary to the country. Yes.
Yeah, well, the government needs to come for this and see what's going on these farms.
Yeah, there needs to be inspections, regulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, sometimes the garbage bins are full. King, we got to keep telling them that, oh, the garbage needs to be changed. King. Farmers, I would never inspire my son to come up to do farmer. That's why I'm here, trying to make it better, so he can get a better life than me. So I would do anything for my son to get a better life. If I'm here for 20 years, and nothing is happening to me, like I can't get no, like, see, in the country, I will stay here and work and make sure my son gets a good education. So he can do something better than me.
That's a fantastic sentiment, Mark. I'm very, that's very inspiring. And I hope that you're able to work in a situation, in a context where you're treated fairly. I hope that's in your horizon.
Yeah.
Mark, I'd like to thank you very much for talking to me this evening, and good luck to you moving forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome.